edition of Leading and Growing Your Real Estate Business. This is Coach James Short, aka Shorty, for another episode with the amazing, the one and only Drew Evans. Now, who is Drew? Drew, I've actually known Drew. I was thinking about this this morning. I've known Drew probably close to, I reckon close to a good to 10, 15 years. And you know, in and out of the different industry in relations to crossing paths of different events and different conferences and so forth, and just catch-ups. And it's so good for us to reconnect to get on this show today. So Drew is the founder of Kofu Property, a company that helps their clients generate substantial equity through small wholesale development projects. Now, we're going to unpack what that actually means and how to actually go about it, because it, you know, funny, as we started talking, he's coming up my way shortly. And just to show, you know, we were actually speaking to many, many years ago about doing some work together, and just the impact of where I probably lost out from not actually pulling the pin and pushing the trigger of actually capitalizing on his amazing services, what he does. So, mate, Drew, thank you for your time. It's so good to get you on the call today. Mate, it's been a while.
It has been. James, good to see you again, mate.
Mate, let's go back to the humble beginnings. Like, how did you start the business? Like, where did that business idea come from? Because I know it's been an awesome journey. Share with the viewers how did that journey start, and how's it grown to today?
Sure. Yeah. And it has. It's been over a decade. So essentially for me, I was working for a lot of other companies, and long story short, thought, hey, I can do this bigger and better myself, and founded Kofu back in 2015. My investment philosophy, though, is very different to traditional kind of investing, where for me, it's all about finding opportunities that are under market value that you can add value to through doing small developments. So at the end, you then have the option to A, take profit off the table, use that profit you make to then pay down the debt on your existing portfolio, which frees up your capacity to keep going again, or B, use the equity that you've generated to then roll into your next project and keep building up your pipeline. I guess it's the complete opposite of your typical buy, hope, and pray approach to investing, where it's more of a fast-track type approach, where I guess your success isn't really reliant on external market factors that you can't control. So, yeah, I mean, listen, since 2015, we haven't looked back. We've been very, very lucky around the market conditions, I guess the staff that we have and the amazing clients that we have too.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And so where things are at for you in relations to market, because you've seen, you look across so many different spectres of the industry. What are you noticing right now within the market?
Well, for us, I guess our business model is really lucky in the fact that we're not tied down to any particular developer, vendor, agent, geographic location, or any particular type of product, I guess. So we go where we can genuinely get our clients the best return on their capital. In terms of the market conditions now, like, I think it's across the board where everything's just getting more expensive, right? You know, they talk about inflation, you know, numbers being, you know, 5-7%. And I don't know, in my opinion, I think those numbers are extremely off, or especially in the real estate world, they're definitely off. Yeah, things aren't getting cheaper. You know, if you think about it, anybody who employs any staff, they're not coming to you saying, hey, James, hey, Drew, please pay me less money. And, you know, you extrapolate that across an entire development industry, you know, your Section 94 contributions are getting more expensive, your headworks charges are, your cost of construction, your materials, you know, the list goes on and on. So it's really interesting because everything's getting more and more expensive, but the value of the real estate is getting more expensive as well, or more so the purchasing power of the currency is getting diminished. But then, I don't know, it's really interesting because you see what's going to happen in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years with the amount of people moving to the country. You've got not as many new dwellings coming to market. You've got a record amount of people coming to the country. You know, in my opinion, there's only one way that things are going to go. And depending on which side of the coin you're on, that's either a blessing or a curse.
And that's why I sort of want to unpack as well. Where do you see it going with all these costs increasing and so forth? Where would you see, I know we don't have a crystal ball, but where do you see the next, I guess, 6 to 12 months in the space that you play in?
Well, I read an article of Cordell's CoreLogic, and that came out yesterday, and it talks about the construction prices, you know, actually pulling back substantially after obviously the peaks in COVID, which is good. I genuinely believe now is like the most opportune time to get into any acquisitions for the primary purpose that you want to invest counter-cyclically. So it's Warren Buffett's favorite saying, you know, invest when others are fearful and obviously sell when others are greedy. So for me now, the negotiating or the bargaining power that we get is incredible, because obviously there's a lot of fear, doubt, uncertainty in the marketplace. I think that that changes, right? It's the same with any type of cycle. And for me at the moment now, I'd much prefer to buy when there's not as much hype and sizzle on the market. But again, that comes with having the fortunate ability of being able to get finance, which is tough.
And so let's unpack that. What's happening in the finance area, and what are you noticing with your clients? What are the challenges and the obstacles and the wins around that at the moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, the property market is directly correlated to the credit market. Over COVID, we had a huge amount of stimulus getting pumped into the economy. We had record low rates, and they stayed far too low for far too long, as we can all agree now. Obviously, we had interest rate rise after rise after rise after rise, which is one thing in terms of clients' affordability, but the other thing is in terms of the bank's assessment and serviceability rates, right? So you've kind of got this really interesting dynamic where property prices essentially have gone through the roof, but future servicing has actually diminished. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a case of, in the investment world, that is, there's clearly going to be a case of the have and the have nots. And that's going to come down to your ability to get finance and obviously your ability to take action. So,
yes, so true, so true. And what are you noticing around? So that's the market. What are you noticing around in the industry? Are you noticing more players coming into the space that you play in, more players leaving that space? What are some of those trends that you're noticing at the moment?
Well, in my direct space, in fact, there's not many people do what we do because of how challenging and how tricky it is. So, again, that's not tooting my own horn or my team's horn, but it's challenging. But if you get the secret sauce right, it can be very, very fruitful as a strategy. I don't think there's a lot of new players coming into the market with what we do in terms of adding substantial value through small developments. And I can't see the model that we have takes years and years and years to perfect. And honestly, James, same as what you do, it's very much a relationships-based model as well. It sounds really bad, but it's true. It comes down to who you know, how well you know them in terms of how you can negotiate, the bargaining power, the development terms on a retail basis that you can get. I guess our model is very fortunate in the fact that we've got a heap of clients. So when we go and negotiate opportunities, we're not doing it on a one-on-one basis. We do take advantage significantly of economies of scale.
Yeah. And that's what I love with you guys, you and the team. It's that relationship base that you have, both on the client side, but also, supplier and other resources that you've built over the last number of years, that as to be that trusted source of information, to be that trusted advisor, to be that to that expert where people go, yeah, cool. All right, let's make this happen. Where do you see then the industry in what you guys do? Do you think there are people going to be trying tapping on the shoulder, go, move over? Because you guys have, your process is so unique, and there must be those trying to copy what you do, but obviously they've been falling by the wayside. Where do you see what you guys do over the next 6 to 12 months? Do you see it ramping up, or do you see it just a steady plateau?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the key phrases I've always learned in business is it takes a lifetime to build a reputation and only one or two bad decisions to ruin it. So that's something that, myself and my business partner, Damien, will never ever put ourselves at risk. And now that's a testament to where our business is today, because essentially we always make sure that our clients come first. And if they don't, then if it doesn't make any sense, we don't do the project. So if you ask me where we're going to be moving forward, our business model is only going from strength to strength to strength, for the pure reason that we have a vested interest in all of our clients' success. I said, we've been going since 2015, and clients legitimately, you probably don't want to hear this yourself because you missed out, but clients are making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. I've had some clients make $800,000 in their first project with us. And for us, if we can help our clients generate that level of equity for their first acquisition, it's super easy and should be a no-brainer to get their second, their third, their fourth, and their fifth. So moving forward, I think it's going to be very, very exciting times. It's just going to come down to finding, the right type of people that have the right level of finance capacity to take advantage of what we do. And again, this isn't limited to my strategy. I do genuinely believe that there's going to be the have and the have-nots, and it's all going to come down to your ability to finance property investment moving forward.
Love it. And one of the things I just want to grab from that is the keyword risk. And both you and Damien, like having that risk understanding and awareness of not just risk in a deal, but risk within yourselves of the type of client that you do, the type of deal that you put into and so forth.
Yeah.
How do you, and so going, want to go a little bit personal, lift the lid here. How do you then manage your mindset around expectations, keeping it into that positive flow? How do you do that for you and managing your positive mindset?
Yeah, totally. So I think for me, it's just being real, genuine, and authentic. You know, as much as I'm the face of the business and the brand of the business, I can assure you, I employ people that are a hell of a lot smarter than me. You know, Damien in particular, he's really the guy that does all the work. I'm the guy that takes all the credit. But you're right. It at times, it can be super, super stressful. It is pretty full on as a business because I take all of my clients' money personally, as if it's my own money, right? And one thing I'm incredibly proud of is to date, we have never lost a single client, a single cent, and we don't intend on starting anytime soon. That doesn't mean that property development is an exact science. You know, things often pop up, change, move, and adapt. That can be stressful. But where we're really lucky, James, is, you know, we don't just take on anyone. You know, A, we need to show our clients how we can add a ton of value to their bottom line. Yep. B, they need to show us that they can afford the opportunities that we have. Otherwise, honestly, it's a waste of money for them joining our business and potentially a waste of time for the both of us. And as part of our, I guess, our acquisition process of bringing on new clients, we need to make sure that we have the right investment philosophy, that we get on well, and that we don't butt heads right from get-go. So we're pretty fortunate in that respect.
And that's coming back to the relationship piece, right? It's understanding what's the benefit for each party in that relationship and what's the benefit for the bigger picture and the bigger outcome, and which is something that I really love about you guys. And you mentioned something about there around time and managing that time, because obviously there's a lot of time that gets invested into research and developing these relationships. How do you personally manage that for you? How do you manage your time each day, each week, each month? What's your sort of secret sources around that?
Mate, jeepers, I hope my wife's not listening to this, because if she was, I might have a different answer. Listen, it's something I struggle with because I never shut off. I never stop work. I can't, you know, shut off, which is a good thing and a curse at the same time. You know, I'm always a big advocate of, you know, sort of getting up early, doing exercise, keeping healthy, eating good food. But it's also, you know, having a good team around you. I'm a big believer, you know, in honesty, where you're saying, hey, if I don't have the answer, give me 5 minutes and I'll get back to you. And I'd always prefer to have that honesty and upfrontness with somebody because it does. It builds a long-term relationship based on trust. So, yeah, for me, that's kind of how I run things. You know, I'm up first thing in the morning, normally a bit of exercise. I'm always the first person into the office. But now that I've got two young kids, I've drawn the line where, you know, I'm out of the office at 4 o'clock, picking them up, doing the dad thing every single day. No ifs, buts, or maybes.
I love it. And that's a really important piece because, you know, as business owners, we can get into that vortex, into that vacuum of just going so focused on our business where things can fall by the wayside. But having that line in the sand where you've got 4 o'clock, no, that's the dad hat. I love that because it's, you know, it's so important because that's why you're building the business, is usually for the family, for the big picture, for the kids as well. So
yeah,
that's
totally.
So good. How do you then, in relation to your goals, both your personal goals with the family and the kids and your wife, and then also on the business, how do you manage that? What's your philosophy around setting goals with personally and professionally, and how do you do that?
Mate, I actually chat to my wife probably far too much than I should about money and what's coming in and what's going out. I'll leave her shopping habits out of it. But mate, essentially for me, my investment philosophy is same as my business philosophy. It's all about identifying a strategy, and let's use property, where your portfolio should pay you. You don't have to pay it. You know, I'm all based around lifestyle with my property portfolio and with business. You know, I don't write checks that I can't afford to write. I'm not living outside of my means. One thing with a business is, mate, find good people and keep them and pay them well. And that's one thing I'm incredibly proud of, is the staff that we do have. Oh man, they're like a small family. And honestly, it's super, super cool. And it's kind of reflected because we have very low staff turnover. You know, I think everyone has a good time, or they tell me they have a good time anyway. and it works really well.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what we have on the show is a 60-second quick quiz to find out a little bit more about you. There's a bunch of questions I'm going to shoot at you. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, of course.
Love it. All right, here we go. Favorite movie?
Favorite movie, without a doubt, Top Gun.
Love it. Favorite one or two?
One, definitely. One.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Love it. Favorite holiday destination?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Maldives.
Ooh. You mentioned a little bit about this before, but what's your morning routine?
Listen, I'm up at sort of 5:36. Normally, I try and get a bit of exercise in, but if not, straight to the office, get the most important task done of the day or the job that I don't want to do, I always do first.
Love it.
You know, followed by work, 4 o'clock, shut up shop, family time.
Fantastic. And that sort of leads into the next question. Do you have an evening routine?
I wish I had my own routine, mate, but two young kids. It's based
two young kids?
Yeah. It's getting home to feeding time at the zoo, followed by bath time and then in bed. And literally wifey and I, you know, we'll have an hour each night together after that.
Beautiful. And do you have a most embarrassing moment?
Oh, jeepers, mate. Where do I start? Probably none that I want to disclose in too much detail on this podcast, but yes, like everybody.
Okay, cool. And so if you could choose 5 inspirational leaders to have dinner with, they could be dead or alive, who would they be?
Listen, I've thought about this a lot, actually. So, I mean, I'm pretty typical in the fact that, hey, I would love to meet Elon Musk, love listening to Joe Rogan. Patrick Bet David is another good one. Richard Branson. And I don't know, if I'm getting a little bit sleazy, I'd like to meet myself in 50 years' time.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That's the first time I've had that. I really like that. Okay. Do you have a biggest regret?
No, not really. Because, I mean, you know, what's done is done. I'm pretty happy with where I am today. Have I got learning lessons? Heck yes. But regrets? Nah, not really.
Fantastic. And if you were prime minister for the day, what's one thing that you would change?
Yes, especially related to property. If I was prime minister for the day, I would change the whole equation about trying to improve the demand side of real estate. And I would spend a ton of time, resource, and energy improving the supply side of real estate. For me, it still baffles me how these politicians don't get the most basic concepts. So if I was PM for the day, it's all about improving the supply and you watch everything else fall into place.
Oh, fantastic. And best piece of advice?
Best piece of advice is, where do I start? Don't try and do everything yourself and make the mistakes. You can learn and leverage from people that have done what you want to do.
Ooh, boom, drop the mic on that one. I love it. So what's coming up? What's coming up for you guys and you and the team? What's some exciting projects that you may be working on?
Well, mate, at the moment now, Damien and I obviously have a development pipeline personally. So we've got 11 projects actually in the pipeline at the moment now, which is pretty cool. As we mentioned before this call, we're actually filming a docu-series on the behind the scenes of exactly what's involved in developing real estate. So, you know, driving up to Lennox Head, we're going to go film for 2 weeks, I kid you not, every single day, just to show you what happens before you get to the slab stage of a development. So, you know, we're going to meet the guys at Borrell. We're going to go and check out, you know, how the bricks get made. We're going to go to Tasmania, see the pine getting made, get it delivered to site. So I'm super, super excited about that project.
Oh, I'm excited to watch it as well. That sounds so cool. How can the audience get in contact with you? What's the best way?
Yeah, sure thing. If you just go to Google, type in Kaifu Property, you'll see our website. You'll see all of our socials on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Just ping us on any one of those forums and we'd love to chat to you.
Fantastic. Drew, mate, really appreciate it. Always love your energy. Always love your insights. And really, thank you for your time. I can't wait to see the docuseries releasing and looking forward to catching up with you soon, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks so much, James. Chat to you soon.
Cheers to you soon. Bye.